Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at the state of the African tech startup scene and some of the issues and challenges that are being faced by entrepreneurs across the continent, as well as the opportunities that are there, because one of the long-running themes of the COVID-19 pandemic has been the opportunity that are being seen, the rate of digitalization, digital adoption, and some of the things that are happening in the world of things like fintech, health tech, as well as edutech, as people adapt more and more technologies. And to help us to get a sense for what's going on the continent and some of the ways in which entrepreneurs are being helped, we are joined by Okendo Lewis Gale, who is the founder and chairman of Harambians. He's actually been on the podcast before. They have an alliance that's actually helped a number of different businesses, such as Andela, as well as Yoko, and the Flutterwave, which recently became a unicorn. A unicorn in the world of startups is a company that is valued at $1 billion and above. And we're also going to be joined by Iyinoluwa Awoyeji, who is the founder and general partner of Future Africa, joining us from Lagos. Okendo's joining us from Cape Town. So it's looking like it's going to be quite an interesting discussion for us today. Since Okendo, you're no stranger to our platform, greetings to you once again. Maybe for the people that didn't hear our first episode with you, just a little bit around Harambians and the work that you guys are doing.
Oh, Adiwa, thank you for having me once again, and it's wonderful to be back. To understand the alliance today looks like a very sort of fancy Club of African Entrepreneurs. So we have about 300 Harambians collectively. They've raised over $700 million in major investment firms from Silicon Valley, China, and Europe have invested in companies started by Harambians. But at the core, what we attempt to do is simply build trust among Africa's leading innovators, enable them to share best practices with other emerging entrepreneurs, and in so doing, help us ameliorate the entire ecosystem. And I think we have a Harambian par excellence here with us, Mr. Aboyeji, as someone who joined the Alliance in 2010. And as he has often said, it's in this Alliance that he has found both friends, partners, investors, co-founders. And what's amazing is to see him now being an investor in several other Harambians and sharing his knowledge and insights with the broader ecosystem. And so really at the core, we're about identifying the Aboyejis of the continent and enabling them to build community and grow together as we try to unlock the continent's potential.
Now, thank you so much for that. Mr. Aboyeji, Mr. Lewis Gale is, speaking in glowing terms about you. You know, maybe a little bit about, Future Africa and also your journey with the Alliance, because we always hear about your network being your net worth. Maybe you could tell us in practical terms what that has meant for you over the last decade.
Well, my name is Iya Boyeji, and I'm currently the general partner and CEO of the Fund for Africa's Future. I've been a member of the Alliance for the last 10 years, and actually started out as a student at the University of Waterloo. And the Alliance has been incredibly valuable to me, and many of my relationships over the last years have come full circle through the Alliance. It was actually through the Alliance I met my very first investor, Puletau Kobong, who is another great South African, and basically sold his apartment in New York to basically be able to give me some money to be able to in my startup, and also funded quite a number of other startups as well. He launched an amazing investment career through those connections that were made there. My second investor as well, Idris Ayodeji Bello as well, also came through a connection via the Alliance, and on and on. And then I've also come back full circle. We have about five Harambians in our portfolio who are doing extremely well in their different businesses, and are an example of why this type of network is extremely valuable to the continent.
Now, thank you so much for that, Mr. Abuyeji. I think taking on what you said, the meeting of different investors and things like that, you are part of an alliance and you then find investors, you're able to grow these businesses, you're able to come up with these valuations, you're able to, you know, have Okendo saying that, you know, we need to find more and more people like this. I think a question that a lot of maybe startup founders or entrepreneurs may have, I'll start with you, Mr. Abuyeji, is just around how do you make the most of networks? Because it's not every person who gets introduced to the investors that you found along the way that would have been able to parlay that into the opportunities that you've been able to create for yourself and your businesses.
Yeah, I think a big part of it has been, you know, being managed alongside a collective vision, right? So I think that's one thing that really sets this apart. You know what I mean? You know, it's the community that the Harambee Entrepreneur Alliance represents is one that actually gives us a sense of purpose, collective purpose, and makes it easier for us to make connections because of that purpose. So I understand that when I'm investing in a Harambian, I'm not just investing in a great business, but I'm investing in a purpose-minded African who's intending to build a much greater continent as a result. So I think that's really what makes it work. And I think when people come into the network with that mindset of, you know, I want to work with other Africans to make the continent great, and they're very mission driven, they tend to get a lot more out of the alliance than if they come in just thinking about their own transactions or their own needs or what they want to extract from the network. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, you certainly are. I'd love to get Okendo's take on this because, you know, especially engendering that spirit within an alliance. And once again, because one of the big things, I remember when I was at business school, the head of our business school used to say that sometimes in business, serendipity plays a big part of things. But tied to that is that you sort of need to be prepared. And once again, not every person with connections is making the most of those connections. So, Okendo, how do you make sure that the people make the most of the connections that they're actually able to make out there? Because I think that's a problem that entrepreneurs face around the world, not only in Africa.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Madiwa. I think to build on what Mr. Abuyeji was saying, is that our alliance is very much a culture more than just an organization. And the heart of that culture lies a commitment to servant leadership. This belief that we all have been in different ways fortunate to have access to education, networks. And the question is, how do we put those blessings that we've all had at the service of the needs of our communities? And so you notice that everyone who joins the Alliance has a very strong why. They're not just doing this to create a successful business, but they're doing this because they're trying to, it's the best way to address a challenge that they believe must be addressed or gapped, if you will, abridged. And I think that is what then unifies us, right? Once you have this common purpose, then it's easier. And for us, it's not just a belief, it's an actual document. You know, every person who calls themselves a Harambian is a member of this alliance has signed the same document since 2008. It's called the Harambians Brentwood's Declaration. And every Harambian can quote to you the last words of that declaration, which reminds us that we will check our road and the nature of our battle, Yet in the end, the Africa our generation desires can be won. It exists, it is real, it is possible, it is ours. And that document does commit us to work together as one, as the document reads, to build Africa's future. And I think that makes it so much easier because we know that this is really not just about business, but it's about really unlocking, restoring the dignity of our continent and unlocking the true potential of its people.
Whilst I have you here, Okendo, thank you for that, especially just, giving us and articulating, part of that vision and how you engender that spirit. But just moving to the actual practicalities on the ground, the people that are trying to solve these issues, trying to serve the communities, trying to create business models that actually solve some of the issues that Africans are having. What do you make of this moment that we're in when it comes to African startups and the state of the landscape at the moment?
Thank you for that question again. Madiba, I think for me, I'm a historian by training who grew up in the shadow of the Colosseum in Rome, Italy, attended Julius Caesar Lyceum. And so I tend to think in decades and centuries and not just months and years. And it's very clear to me that we find ourselves in a very fortuitous moment for Africa's entrepreneurial ecosystem. If you think about it, it wasn't too long ago where people like young Africans like Aboyeji just didn't think they could actually have an impact. Then even those who said, well, maybe I could go back to the continent and start something, well, they were told that they would never be able to raise enough capital. And then, of course, Mark Zuckerberg comes along and supports Aboyeji and the Andela team with $24 million and helps us answer that question. And then they even said, well, and even if they manage to scale and track significant capital, they'll never be able to reach sort of Silicon Valley-like stature. And so this unicorn status for Flutterwave is a very important moment because it reminds all of us, yes, we can. And I think what you're going to see as this has now been validated further is more players join the fight. And fundamentally, that's what we need. We need more young Africans who believe in their ability to transform Africa's challenges into opportunities. We need more investors who can see past the persistent challenges and actually look at the genuine opportunities that lie behind them. And we need governments beginning to create environments that are ever more conducive to this kind of development, which is why it's also central that we now have a book in this alliance that has really helped us crystallize what the fight is about and what is it that we all can play. And the book, I might have mentioned it in our last call, Maduro, but it's Prosperity Paradox. And fundamentally, it was co-authored by Professor Clayton Christensen from the Harvard Business School, along with a Colombian by the name of Ifeosa Ojomo from Nigeria. What the book argues is that the kind of innovation that Africa could deliver the world is what they call market creating innovation. And the basic idea is that there's some entrepreneurs out there who are trying to build products and services, not just for the 80 million Africans in the middle class, but the 800 million who are not currently participating in the global economy. And if we can figure out ways to deliver healthcare and education to people who fundamentally can't afford it, then there are implications for people, not just in Lagos, but London and really around the world. As I often joke, if before China had Alipay and America had Apple Pay, Kenya had M-Pesa, and if we are successful in this alliance, next time China will not need Alipay because we'll be able to scale the M-Pesas of Africa. And so this moment just means for so many of us, yes, we can.
No, it definitely sounds like, yes, we can indeed. And especially companies that you've spoken about. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Kenya for a Facebook conference, and a lot was said about Andela at the time. That was like, everyone wanted to be like Andela at the time. So I can definitely see what you're saying. And, on the back of that, Mr. Aboyeji, maybe you can help us to maybe trail a line through your business career and some of the companies that you've sort of started and have been involved in over the last decade.
Sure. I mean, for me, it's really just been building one after the other. when I first got into the Alliance, actually, I had an idea on a piece of paper called Project Cheetah, where I had imagined I would build an education institution on the continent that mirrored a lot of the principles of the one I was attending, including quite a bit of experience in practical work experience. And that never got off the ground. But I did start another company called booknetter.com while I was in school. That didn't do as well. We ended up moving very quickly to build another company, this time on the continent, called Fora. And Fora, again, was also focused on the education industry. How can we help more young people get access to knowledge? And then, right after that, we got engaged with Andela, and Fora ultimately became Andela. And there, we really worked hard to try to change the fortunes of a lot of young Africans who we felt could do more than just get knowledge, but actually earn something significant on the back of skills that they had gotten. And then I left Andela to join Flutterwave in 2016, when I realized that, if the ability to earn, for talent to earn, was limited to the way they could earn by leveraging the support of US companies, and if there was no way for them to do so independently, you could actually cap the total potential in this space. And that was how I got to Flutterwave. And then after Flutterwave, I realized that, people were able to build products, but for them to really be able to scale those businesses in the way that they imagined they could, they would need local sources of capital and global sources of capital working together to help build a very valuable technology ecosystem. And I got involved in trying to get the local investors engaged through the Fund for Africa's Future. So, I mean, that's really kind of the the general sense of how things have been
working. That's actually, quite incredible, and especially that ability to move from one, one thing to another. And I do have a quick question on that, because you started off your response by saying that your career has been a story of sort of building one thing from the next. And as hard as it is, I've been involved in some businesses in my career, and I know how hard it is to get something off the ground. So, maybe getting your sense around, at what point do you decide that, okay, fine, I'm done, I'm going to go to the next one? And do you completely leave? Because a lot of the time when it comes to entrepreneurs, it's your baby.
Yeah.
And you sort of have an emotional attachment, and you just want to see it growing and flourishing. And yeah, so I guess maybe you could talk to us about that.
Yeah. I think for me, it's always been a combination of factors. So part of it is fairly spiritual. I consider myself an apostle in the marketplace. So in general sense, every move is generally dictated by much higher powers. And so in that respect, I get my instructions and I move. But there's another element of it, which is a function of really understanding that if you want to build an institution, I cannot continue to live in your shadow, right? And, the things that you build are primarily for the people you build them, not really even for you. And so that's something I've come to understand very important, as very important over time. And it's guided my mindset when it comes to these things, because of that, it's always very easy for me to make that decision to leave, knowing fully well that I have a successor who is very well trained to take on the challenges of whatever is coming, and perhaps even better placed than I am to grow the business into the future. And so that's my mindset. And for me, it's way more about the mission than about my ego. So You know, it's very easy for me to make that decision to leave and let it be.
No, I really like that. And especially where you said that you believe that you're an apostle in the market. I feel like that could literally be something you could actually brand yourself as. I really like that a lot. Okendo, are we doing enough on the African continent? Maybe not are we doing enough, rather, because these things are more a journey than a destination. What do you make of the type of support that is available to have more people like Mr. Aboyeji on the continent, given the work that you're doing? Because you started more than 10 years ago, and I can imagine that the startup landscape, the entrepreneurial landscape, was quite different a decade ago than it is at the moment.
The former CEO of I believe it's FNB or one of your major banks, hosted us as it's hosted some of the Harambians here in Cape Town at his lovely farm in Stellenbosch last week. And what was so interesting about that reflection, the conversation and reflections that he made, was that he noted that it might have taken the Alliance 14 years to get here. But he said he predicted that what's about to happen is going to be much faster and exponential. And I just generally think that that's just a reflection of the ecosystem as a whole, right? Many of these things, it takes time for them to take root, but once they're in motion, they grow exponentially. And for me, as I think about whether we should be optimistic about the road ahead and is enough being done, it's clear to me that all the key things are in place. And for me, one of the blessings of having Aboyeji on this call is that if you see other entrepreneurial ecosystem at their infancy, whether Silicon Valley or China or Israel, what you notice is a small group of people kind of started out. They create the first successes, and then they go and reshape the entire ecosystem. They become the investors. They become the lawyers. They become the policymakers. And I think it gives me great courage that Mr. Aboyeji is not resting on his laurels, though no one would blame him if he did. God knows he's done a great deal for the ecosystem already. But he is out there actually recycling in a very intentional manner his network, his knowledge, his insights with other bold African innovators. And he's advising governments on how to think about these individuals. And so the fact that he's not alone, but there's a growing number of Harambians who are following his footsteps, tells me that it may not seem sufficient right now, but as Mr. Michael Jordan told us last week at his farm, you're probably about to see an exponential growth, partly because of that. We're spreading those seeds far and wide in a very fertile soil.
I really, like that, especially that reflection around people, coming in, you build the successes, and then after that, you make sure that you go back and you create whatever systems you probably saw yourself struggling with along your own journey, plug those holes, and then, make the roads smoother, so to say. I think people in South Africa will be familiar with the analogy because of all the potholes that are growing on the roads. So if you go back and, where you struggled along the way, plug some of those holes, I think, we can definitely go a long way from that. And then the other piece is the fact that you are having an engagement this evening just around, some of these issues. What are you hoping to actually achieve from something like that?
I think just, again, because I'm a historian, and I tend to always look at the big picture, but I'm very conscious that most people are rightly busy on the here and now. And so part of our objective is to help people take a step back and draw courage from what is happening, right? If you look at the fact that in the middle of this pandemic in October, two scrappy kids from Nigeria got acquired at the tune of $200 million by Stripe in Nigeria. you should see that, well, for those who thought that maybe this would be the end of entrepreneurship as we know it, well, that was a very important sign. If you step back and consider the fact that only 5 years ago, Abuyeji and his team and Mr. Abola started the impossible journey of Flutterwave. And now, within 5 years, is valued at over $1 billion. All of this, if you look at the fact that the biggest investor in both Andela and Flutterwave is a fund started by a South African and a Zimbabwean. This is the largest Africa fund. And that was started again because, as Abuyeji mentioned earlier, Pule came to one of our events at the Harvard Club in New York and then quit his job and best took a leap of faith, invested in him, and now he is the biggest Africa VC. All of that should give us courage that we are clearly on the path to unlocking the continent's potential to innovation. And that therefore should embolden us to be bolder, right? To just think, well, if we could do that, what more can we do? And I just hope that people will, one, be able to say, my goodness, we've come a long way. And as we look ahead, think, yes, we have a long way to go, but my goodness, we can actually do that and a whole lot more. And so hopefully we'll embolden people to think bigger. And so that when we look back on this moment for Flutterwave and for the ecosystem, we will see that a nuclear explosion went off.
I like that, a nuclear explosion went off. Mr. Abuyeji, your take just on this as we round up the discussion, and especially the courage that it takes to actually take a bet on some of these ideas, some of these innovations. What do you think is, apart from the population, because a lot of people, when we look at countries like Nigeria, we tend to look at how big the population is, etc. But apart from that, what do you think it is that's happening in where you are that's igniting the growth of all of these different companies and different startups that other African countries could try to replicate or take lessons from?
I think it's going to be an unnatural answer, Ndiwa, but it's the truth, which is that in Nigeria, the mindset is that the challenges are opportunities. You don't see the most serious people here complain about. I mean, we might complain a lot, but that's not where the conversation ends. There's always a conversation that follows. There's always a conversation that follows about how can we solve this problem, and people get to work and solve the problem. I remember when I was just before I jumped ship to Flutterwave, to start Flutterwave, I went to a community event where, all the ecosystem founders were talking about payments and what they had done to do payments and all that stuff. And look, literally after that, you had a wave of payment companies emerge, Paystack, Flutterwave, that are now big today. So that's really what's responsible. Everybody in this country looks at a challenge, doesn't blame anybody, or doesn't just blame somebody for it, but takes it as an opportunity to go work on that challenge and turn it into a business opportunity. And that's why we're where we are today.
And as we end off, maybe you could just give us some brief insights into where you're actually seeing, funding dollars or ideas popping up, because you just gave the example of you started seeing a lot of payment companies, coming up, when you guys were, doing your thing with Flutterwave. But at the moment, where do you see the ideas or the innovation popping up?
I think, again, in keeping with the philosophy, it's still going to be the biggest opportunities are the biggest challenges. So health, education are two that are extremely important right now. COVID-19 really, really showed the gaps in those areas. And whether it's, inventing much cheaper diagnostics, distributed care and delivery, whether it's, thinking carefully about genomics, in education, whether it's personalized learning, mobile device management, access to digital learning contents. These are all areas of possible innovation. Those are where I'm focused. And then I'll say capital as well. You know, capital is starting to shift from investing deeply in government debt to starting to identify the gaps that COVID exposed in order to build new kinds of businesses on top of those gaps. And it's an interesting thing to see.
Definitely interesting to see, and especially just highlighting the education, the health tech, and some of the things that COVID-19 has actually exposed, as possible opportunities. Okendo, will give you the last word on this conversation. Anything you see different in terms of where investment is going or where the ideas are popping up?
Well, I guess I must end by saying thank you to you, because I still, as you mentioned, I've been in this, I feel a bit of the grandpa of this entrepreneurial ecosystem, because when we started 14 years ago, people couldn't even spell the word entrepreneurship. And I suspect some people still struggle. But what's interesting is to see individuals like you now starting to pay attention to this and help us unpack it and demystify it and make it accessible to an ever greater audience. And that is a sine qua non condition for our collective success. And I think that's right, it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more of us sort of believe in this, the more likely it is to be realized. And so I really want to thank you. As you mentioned, this is now our second conversation. So the first one could have been an accident, but there's more attention behind this one, I suspect. and I think just know that what you're doing and what a growing number of publications and news and media are doing is really invaluable, because years from now, you know, if we were to have this conversation 10 years from now, you'll see it would be a very different game, where this will be well understood. There'll be several case studies and everyone will say, well, duh, but that moment isn't here yet. It's still for the connoisseurs, if you will. And I think what you're doing is really helping broaden that audience. And that's part of the reason why I'm still hopeful and genuinely believe that this is a very different moment that we will look back with a smile on years from now. So thank you, Madiwa, and to your team for bringing us together and sharing this story with the world.
Thank you so much, gents. So that was us with Mr. Abuyeji, who is the founder and general partner at Future Africa, together with Okendo Lewis-Gale, founder and chairman of Harambians, just telling us about some of the efforts that they have across the African continent to build networks that will be able to foster growth for African entrepreneurs, tech startups, and just hearing Mr. Abuyeji's story, the different companies that he's been involved with, and together with Mr. Lewis-Gale and his journey over 14 years trying to build this alliance and making sure that people can actually leverage off of each other's skills and talents to actually grow and plug some of the holes that are there. One of the things I liked the most about what Mr. Abuyeji said was when he said that in Nigeria, you look at every problem as an opportunity. And I think it's probably a very good mindset to have, because if anything, almost everything that we, that we use, touch, feel, billion-dollar businesses are because of a problem that is being addressed.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
They say that success is where opportunity meets preparation. And I really like the conversation that we had with Mr. Abuyeji and Mr. Lewis-Gale, just joining us from Lagos and from Cape Town, just around the impact of an alliance or connections, or making those connections, that effort. Because a lot of the time when you read some of the self-help books, people would really do talk a lot about personal development and knowing your craft and all of these things, but truth be told, sometimes your network is your net worth, and you probably in a lot of cases don't even need to have 100,000 followers on Instagram or Twitter or something like that. You just need that one person or that one or two people like what Mr. Abuhiji was talking about, the couple of guys that believed in his vision, sold apartments in New York just so that they could fund the business that he had. So, you know, finding that one or two people that are able to invest in what you have or believe in your vision enough, that's sometimes all it takes. So engendering that spirit of being able to work together, those collaborations, you know, is very important. And I think the other piece is learning as well about how to foster relationships that are actually going to be productive, because on the continent right now, in Africa, I think the last count I had was about 615-620 entrepreneurship hubs that are there on the continent. And that's a big growth, almost a third from the 400 or so that existed, you know, in the prior year. And that sort of speaks to the different communities that are being built across the continent to help entrepreneurs along their journey, find funding, business plans, how do you market, how do you scale, all of these things. And if you can get people to mentor you or people that you walk with along the journey, that really does help to get your business off the ground, but also to help you move forward. And especially some of the issues, a lot of the time people say that there's nothing new under the sun. So whatever struggle or challenge you're going through, chances are there is someone somewhere out there who's probably been through the same thing. You don't necessarily need to take or follow what they do or say, but just that insight into how someone else has thought about a similar issue or challenge, or maybe even the way that someone has seen a situation and thought differently about it, that's really, really, really important. So going forward, it will be good to have more and more of these conversations, at least hoping that the work that's being done by the likes of the Alliance and many others across the continent does help, so that people know how to take advantage of the people that they come into contact with, so that people know how to grow proper relationships. And it's not just a zero-sum game where you're just competing against each other and you just want to end each other, where you find ways to work with each other, but more importantly, where you find ways of building meaningful relationships that will help you and the people that you're in business with go forward. And hopefully, at the end of the day, that will build networks within African countries and amongst African countries, so that the continent as a whole can move forward. Because when the likes of Andela, when the likes of Flutterwave now, I remember a couple of years ago when Jumia, that's the e-commerce platform that was actually backed by MTN, when they listed on the New York Stock Exchange, they were first African startup to have that $1 billion valuation. So, and that's the way that you look at it. You say that they were the first African unicorn, right? And people weren't saying, oh, that is the first Nigerian company. No, no, no. They were looking at it within a continent-wide, because at the end of the day, we look at it as Africa first, and then we look at the different countries in the same way that you look at the United States before you look at the different states such as California or Georgia. So in the same way, we also need to find ways to come together as African entrepreneurs, just so that we can advance that agenda and, you know, build these communities, create jobs, and be sure that, you know, we can actually find ways to grow that wealth. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.